Good morning, everyone. Good morning and welcome. Whether you're a regular or a visitor here this morning, we're very pleased to see you. So we have a varied programme this morning. My name is Suzette, for those who don't know me. Neil is leading us in worship and helping me out this morning, and there'll be a lot of other people contributing throughout the meeting. So we hope that you'll go away inspired today with something to think about, encouraged for the week, and that it'll be a good experience for you this morning, that the love of God will touch you while you're here. Our theme for this morning is the love of Christ. And I'm going to hand over to Neil now for our first song.
Yeah, the big verse for the morning is John 17, and you're going to hear. Did you just say that, or did I hear? Yeah, we're going to hear that verse, different versions of that from the Bible all the way through the morning, and we're going to start off. Karen's going to read for us. So let's just listen to this before we launch into our first song. It's Rising Up. Okay.
My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know you that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them.
To read our scripture again this morning from a different version and lead us in some prayer.
John 17, 20-26. I do not pray for these alone. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever believe and trust in me through their message, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe without any doubt that you sent me.
I have given to them the glory and honour which you have given me, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected and completed into one, so that the world may know without any doubt that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you have loved me.
Father, I desire that they also, who you have given, give to me as you give to given may be with me where I am, so that they may see me my glory which you have given me, because you loved me for the foundation of the world.
O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has never acknowledged you and the revelation of your mercy, yet I have always known you, and these believers know without any doubt that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, overwhelming their heart, and I may be in them.
Dear Father, we thank you for your great love, such love that gave the world the very best, your Son Jesus, such love that has placed us in families and brought us together as a family at Welton. We ask that you may help us to do life together, that we may see each other as you do and love as you do, that we may live in unity with you and each other, so we may be powerful witnesses wherever you take us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much to our young people. So at the very deepest level, what is it that we all crave and hunger after? I think it's love. Do you agree with me? To be loved, to be special, and to have some significance to someone else. And that deep bond of love that unites Jesus with Father God is also there for us. And as we accept the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, turn our lives around and follow him, the love that flows from God the Father through Jesus comes to us. It draws us together in unity with God and with each other. We're all so unique and individual, brought together by love, in harmony and unity, so that the world will see that Jesus really did come from God for them. Now, we're privileged to have several people here this morning who are willing to share their own personal testimonies about the love of God in their lives and the way that it's impacted on the world around them. So please give a warm welcome to Laura Horswell and Kevin Smith. Come and join me up here. So Laura, for people who are not familiar with you, don't know you very well, Laura has been a member of Welton Baptist Church for about 9 years now, is that right?
I think so.
Oh, I haven't given you the microphone, so that would help. Just bear with me. Oh, we just use that one. Laura is married to Johnny.
Yeah.
And they have two children, Isla and Lucas. Quite young children, and Laura has a special ministry working with the children in the church, and she currently leads the Bright Sparks ministry team. Jesus' prayer is for all who believe and trust in him. We all have our own story of our personal meeting with God and getting to know Jesus. Some of us have a moment of blinding revelation, and other people come to know him more gradually. Laura, you grew up in a Christian family and had a more gradual experience of coming to know and accept Jesus in your life. Would you describe how that process happened for you?
Yeah. Well, I was brought up in a Christian family and I've always been taught about God. So for me, I always accepted what I was taught, and it was more of a process, and I can't tell you exactly when I made a commitment to God. But I know that I got baptised when I was 13, and at that point I made a definite decision to follow God and wanted to show everyone else as well. But that was the point that I was at, really. So for me, that stands out when I was 13. But before then, it's all a bit of a blur. I just
thank
just
you.
There was a process.
I expect for most of us, even when we come to know Jesus gradually through our families, there is a moment when we need to make that decision for ourselves.
Yeah.
So for you, it was at 13.
Yeah, I know definitely at that point I'd made the decision. So.
Yeah. And how do you think that knowing Jesus' love for you from an early age helped you in life's challenges?
I think just knowing God has helped me to put things in perspective that happen in my life, and doesn't necessarily stop bad things from happening, but just helps you to deal with it better, with knowing that you can ask God for help and that you're not dealing with things by yourself.
Yeah, certainly. And during this last year, you've moved house. Uprooting and relocating your home is one of the most stressful things that can happen to us. So would you tell us a little bit about how you came to your decision as to when you would move?
So this was just over 6 months ago. We were at a point where we knew that we were going to have to move because Ida and Lucas were sharing a bedroom, and they were 6 and 4 at the time, and we were getting to this stage where we knew that they needed to be separated, really. But we didn't plan on doing it right yet. But then I went for a run and I came back, and I said to Johnny, I said, why don't we do it now? Let's just look into it and see if we can. And there were lots of other logical reasons that didn't make sense at this time, which is why I was a bit surprised to be thinking about it now. But we did look into it, and then we realised that we could. And then from when we sold our house to when we moved into our new house, the whole thing took 3.5 months, and we just knew that that God's hand was on that situation. It was extremely stressful, and lots of quite big things went wrong in that, like they do with houses. But we just knew that that's where God wanted us to be. So
that was an extremely short time to sell a house and buy another one and move in. Yeah. 3 months is absolutely amazing. I think that's a miracle. And I'm not surprised it was quite stressful. Yeah. But you had that love of God to fall back on and hold you through all the stresses.
Yeah, definitely. God definitely helped us through that situation, like when the boiler broke in our old house and things like that, 2 weeks before we were due to move. He definitely helped us, and
So God's love was really shown in his provision for you and his blessing through that time. That's a lovely story. Thank you. Would you like to hand the mic over to Kevin? So this is Kevin. Kevin is married to Angela, and they have 3 children, Jessica, Ben, and Matthew. Kevin and Angela have a ministry together with our Superchargers children's group. Kevin, how long have you been at Welton Baptist now?
I think just over 10 years. Yeah, it's a little while.
Okay, and I gather in your everyday life you're a postman, is that right?
I disguise myself as one.
Thank goodness for our postman. So you have quite a long history of working with children and youth, and you wanted to tell us a story this morning about something that happened in North Wales in the 1990s. What were you doing at the camp there?
It was a Covenanter camp. Called Cricket for Venture, and it basically is an activity week, or 8 days, where the youngsters come, do lots of activities in North Wales, and learn about the love of Christ. And they come from all across the country.
And I gather you had 5 lads you were particularly responsible for?
Depending on what role you took on, on this particular year I was a tent officer, so I looked after a group of lads for the 8 days. Basically make sure they washed, ate something, and were on time for different activities, and had the right stuff.
Was that an easy job to do?
No, not always. Sometimes.
How old were the boys?
In this particular case, they were between 12 and 13 years old.
Okay. So things were a little bit difficult to start with.
Oh, yeah. This particular year, we had 3 lads from Highbury in London and 2 lads from Manchester. So when you think of Manchester and London, straight from the off, they were a little bit uneasy with each other. But in the end, they got on semi-well. But they were, needless to say, a little bit unruly.
So as things went on through the week, did things improve? Did they get a reputation of any kind?
Yeah, they quickly got a reputation. it came to a little bit of almost a climax, I suppose, about the third night in the evenings, trying to get them to listen, sit still, pay attention to anyone or whatever was going on was a continual struggle. And in the end, so much so, any times it made me cry, and I was taken away from one of the leaders, and then I spoke with Commie, who was obviously in charge, and then Commie spoke with the youngsters. Commie was a guy called Tom Williams, and he was the governor of Layhill Prison, so he knew how to deal with some unruly characters.
He sorted them out.
He spoke to me afterwards, and he said that he's had a quiet word with him. I seemed to do the trick for a while.
And I gather at the end of the camp, there was a report on the spiritual growth of the group?
Yeah, at the end of each camp, there's a report made, and it's a report on the whole of camp life, basically. And part of it was on the spiritual side of camp. And it did make special mention of Tent 8. And funny enough, it just said, nothing spiritual happened there. Because it had quite a reputation.
Okay, so later on after the camp, did you hear back from any of those boys?
Yeah, we heard back from the lads from Highbury. Aidan, one of the lads, his mum was so taken back by how he'd changed that she started to go to church too. And obviously, that's very good. Their youth group came to it, so their leaders were with us as well on camp. So, yeah, it was very good.
And did you hear from any of the boys later on?
Well, obviously, I heard from Aidan. He wrote to me later on that year. Obviously, you don't say what kind of character he is, but in his letter, it's very short, to the point. He said, "I found faith."
And praise the Lord.
And he came back with Simon, another one of the lads. He came back and they served on camp. Aidan served for about another 10 years as a JOTO, he wanted to give back to camp something of what he obviously received from Christ. Yeah. That love that he had received, he wanted to give back, and he did so.
That's lovely. It's a very rewarding story. And I think it's really nice that you know some of the impact that God had through you on their lives. So often we talk to people, or we're with people, and we never know really what that further impact is. But in this case, you had the encouragement of knowing.
Yes, of hearing back.
Yeah. So everyone here who meets other people, talks about the Lord, works with the youth, whatever, be encouraged. You just never know what God is doing through your words and your contact with them. Well, thank you very much, both of you. Thank you. Let's give them a round of applause.
One person in each little group to be a storekeeper. No. Storekeeper? Where did that come from? Scorekeeper. Will, would you mind just keeping the score? I'll tell you when your team scores a point. Teresa's keeping this score. Score. You don't need to just remember the number. You don't need to write it down. I haven't done an app for it. And Tim, would you mind keeping the score for this team here? That's great. Right, so I'm going to ask you some questions. Very simply. And what I'd like you to do is, if the answer for you is yes, that you love it, stand up. Or if you can't stand up, just put your arm up. And then we're going to count. And whichever group has got the most in that particular one gets that point. Is that okay? Thank you. Right. So question number one. Have you ever burnt a house down when you've left the oven on? Where on earth did that come from? Sorry. Have you ever fired a missile at someone because you love them? But anyway, right. So first question is around a bit of sport. Do you like rugby? Stand up if you do. Or put your hand up, whichever you prefer. Okay, based on what I see, that team over there got that question. Okay, sit down. Okay, same up and down on, do you like football? Ah, there we go, you're straight up. Less people. I would say the middle got that one. Hey, well done, big cheer there. Okay. So you might want to write some of these down in a minute. Do you like Manchester United? Unfortunately, they get the point. Okay, are you a supporter of Chelsea? Ah. Oh, hello. Unfortunately, you get the point. And are you a supporter of Liverpool? Oh. And they get the point. So you now know sort of what colours these people are. Right, we're going to go into a food round now. Now, I was going to say, do you like cake? But that would be everybody up, wouldn't it? So we're going to go with, do you like Victoria Sponge? Oh, yes. Good. It's Brenda here. Brenda, where are you? Are you here, Brenda Cossey? She's not here. Take a note, because Brenda always says to me, I can only make Victoria Sponge for Sunday nights. Everybody loves Victoria Sponge, but I would say, looking at it, gosh, this is close. I'm going to go with the middle group one, that one. Well done. Okay. Do you like flapjack? I should have just done, do you like cake, shouldn't I? And I would say, Not quite everybody on this one's up, not quite everybody on that one's up. So everybody from this group is up, so you've got the point. Well done. Okay. Right, into a takeaways. Chinese. So we're getting a basis of where we are as a people, aren't we? It's all around food. Right, okay, so actually not everybody's up on this one, but everybody's up on that one, and not everybody's up on that one, so you get the point. You're obvious, down the end over there. Indian. Ah, less people on this one again, less people on that one. And my entire family are up. That one again, without a doubt. All right, last food one, couscous. Just saying the word makes me feel ill. Okay, quite a lot of you down. I would say that point, oh, it goes over that way over there, right. Okay. Quick movie round, Star Wars. Ooh. 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 Don't give it to them. I would say this team has got the most people up. Okay. Matrix. The Matrix. You can any one of them or all of them. It doesn't matter. I would go just the first one. Yeah, probably. This team, I think. Only just, though. Well done. I think so. You start bartering me the decision. Footloose. Okay, you got Footloose. Well done. It's funny. I sat at work this week and they were talking, the younger people were talking about, oh, yeah, Footloose. But they were talking about the remake. Not the original. And we said, gosh, and my boss is about the same age as me, and my boss's boss is about the same age as me. And she said, when do you reckon that was done? 1984. It turns out none of them have been born then. They go, huh? Dirty Dancing. Oh, come on, Ebditch. You love Dirty Dancing. You love it. He loves it. Okay, so I'm going to go. Oh, hello, there's more people. This one here. Yes, yeah, definitely. Well done. I'd have stood up for Dirty Dancing as well, because nobody puts baby in the corner. Notting Hill. Do you know what I love watching? Oh, come on. Do you actually like it? There's nothing wrong with liking it. It's just a film. It's just a film. Okay. I think I have to go with this one again. There's more people on this one. Okay. Penultimate round. Oh, that one, wasn't it? No, you didn't. The basis of being the scorer, you need to note the score. Guy, I'm really sorry for you. I'm sorry, mate. I got a glimpse of what your life's like. I told you not to write it down. It's my fault. Oh dear, never a truer word said. Okay, pets, cats. I love cats. Elaine loves cats. I know I love cats. I used to love cats until I had one. No, I don't really. Okay, so I'm going to go with that one over there. Rabbits. Other than with Rosemary, I don't think I would want a rabbit. Okay, so I think it's those over there. Well done. Hamsters. Mark Fairweather, you were up first by a long way, and I'm going to say probably, I think it was them again over there. Well done. Yeah, for about 2 years. Reptiles. I can just make it generic. Reptiles. Oh, okay. Oh, three. Five over there. I didn't say toenails, I said reptiles. Okay, so you got that point over there. All right. Couscous. No, I've done that one. Dogs. Ah, yes. An actual pet. Oh, I reckon those over there. Well done. Okay. Church. Okay. Gosh, I think on the basis of who's not standing up, that should be the point goes away. So I'm going to get. So is everybody stood up on that one? Everybody stood up on that. I'm going to call that one a draw. Thank goodness. Okay, this is a simple question to your children. Do you love your mum and dad? To children only on this one. Well, you've all got children. Yeah, that's it. That's okay. Okay, so parents, you might want to note what children haven't stood up. Okay. Now, I guess, so I'm going to go with that team over there had the most. Right, so I'm going to guess this could be a bit loaded. It's the other way around whether you love your children. But on the basis of how old they are, may well depend on how much you love them. But let's just say you love them, because if they're teenagers, you might not. I've always loved my children just on different levels. Parents, do you love your children? Okay, children, take notes on what parents aren't stood up. Joe, the answer was stand up. On that basis, because you're too busy watching your own kids. Okay, so everybody is stood up, but I'm going to say the most people stood up is this group. Right. It's funny, isn't it? Love is such a different thing, isn't it? We can love football, we can love cake, we can love our mum and dads, we can love our children, we can love friends, but they're not all one love, is it? It's all different. And when we say love, often the world thinks of it as just the wrong sort of type of love, but we can love all these things. I don't love my wife in any different way at all. No, so I should have stopped that and thought about what I was about to say before I actually said it. I don't love my wife the same way as I love rugby. I do love rugby, I love watching it, but I love my wife nowhere near as much. You know the answer to that, don't you? I certainly don't love couscous, but anyway, and we do have it a lot, but anyway, there you go. Right, here's the last three. Love your neighbour. Well done. And I mean actual neighbour. I wonder if we mean actual neighbour. Now, bear in mind, love is these different things. Okay. So I'm going to go with... Almost all of you are up, so I'll go with you on the end. Okay, penultimate question. Love the person next to you. Everybody's huddling around one person they love quickly to make sure I can say yes on this. Okay, this team's got everybody up. Well done. And the last question. Love everyone in this room. The end team, I think, got that one. Well done. Okay. No matter how we are, when the kids talked about it, they said, actually, I could burn the house down and my mum and dad would still love me. I don't know what others... No, that is actually the case. The love of Christ, the love of Jesus, no matter how we behave, no matter whether we believe or not in him, he still loves us. No matter what we do, there is still this love and the security of that love in Jesus, which is amazing. And when we know how bad we are, sometimes, to understand that the creator of everything actually loves little old me, is pretty amazing, isn't it? And it is true. So, Tim, did you manage to keep scoring? We know Teresa didn't. Eight. No, you're the winners. You just made that up, Coombs.
Thank you, Jason. That was fun. Okay, we have a couple more people now who are going to come up. and share their stories with you. So let's give a warm welcome to Jenty Goodyear and Sandra Yeoman. Make sure I give you a microphone this time. Thank you both for coming up and being willing to share with us this morning. So, Jenty, we'll start with you. Jenty is married to David, and they have three children, James, Hannah, and Adam, who are all quite grown up now. So, Jenty's been a member of the church here for about 12 years. And she has a part in of she has a ministry of singing with the worship group, which blesses us all. She works for the NHS as a practice nurse and is also a fully trained counsellor. So Jenty, I gather that you have quite a friendly relationship with your neighbours, is that right?
Yep, I do, I'm lucky.
And there's one that you send text messages to fairly often?
Yeah. I plague a lot of my neighbours with text messages.
Do you? Would you tell us about a particular instance when you were leaving the house the other day and you met your neighbour as you were going out?
Well, on a Tuesday morning, I meet with Amanda and Caroline for an hour get-together where we talk to each other and we pray. And I was going out about 20 to 9 on a Tuesday morning and I bumped into Lisa, my next-door neighbour, walking her dog. And we always ask each other what we're doing. So I found myself, to my shame, saying, oh, I'm just going for coffee with some friends. And immediately I thought, that's very strange at 20 to 9 in the morning. That's a very keen coffee. But that's what I found myself saying to her.
Okay. And so did you just leave it at that?
No, as soon as I said it, I felt like I wanted to cut my tongue out, and I wondered, where did that come from? Why didn't I tell her where I was going to meet Caroline and Amanda? And yes, we do drink coffee, but it wasn't just for coffee. And it played on my mind most of the day, so I decided to send a text message, and that's not unusual for us. Every week or two or so, we'll send each other a little message, but I just said... something's been playing on my mind that I said to you, and I don't know why I did, but you asked where I was going, and I said to you I was going out for coffee, but actually I meet on a Tuesday morning with a couple of girls from church, and we talk about our weeks, and we talk about other people and problems that are going on for us or for other people, and then to support each other, we pray, and we try and pray for other people as well. And I felt that this was a little bit risky because she's not a churchgoer. And I didn't, because she knows me quite well, because we're friends, I've shared problems with her. I didn't want her to think I was coming across sort of holier than thou. And I just said, I don't profess to have any more of a personal hotline to God than you have. But if you ever did have anything that you wanted me to share with my friends and we could pray for, I'd pray on a Tuesday, but I'd pray any time as well. And I wasn't quite sure what sort of reaction I'd get. And she sent a really nice text back with loads of kisses, so it was obviously received really well, and it just said, that's really kind of you, and I certainly would talk to you if I felt the need. And then when I next saw her, she didn't seem to want to just say hi. She actually said to me, oh, tell me a little bit more about the church you go to, and she wanted to know where we met and what sort of a church it was. So I just felt like she was more interested than perhaps she'd ever been before.
Thank you, Jenty. That's a lovely story. And it just shows how God just quickens in us the need to speak to people at certain times, and when what we've said isn't enough. And then that obedience in doing that can really bear fruit. And I honour you for doing that, because sometimes it's quite difficult. But that's where the love of God in us actually gives us courage to take the risk sometimes. Would you agree?
Yeah, it was sort of one of those heart-beating fast sort of days when I knew I had to follow it up, but felt like I'd rather just forget about it, but I knew I couldn't.
So. Yeah, well done, Genty, for doing that. So if you'd like to pass the microphone to Sandra. So Sandra is married to Guy. And
that one.
That guy.
He hasn't been blessed with two wives. Like that, no, that can't count.
And you have two children, John and Karis. And the family have come here not that long ago from Sydney, Australia. So, Sandra, would you like to tell us a bit of background about what brought you to this country?
Sure, Suzette. I don't know if you know how challenging it is to live in a country where the weather is mild, the golden beaches are endless, and we have dual carriageways without roundabouts. It's a real challenge. And so, no, that's not why we came here. No, a very edited version of why we're here is Guy over there. Was pastoring a church in Sydney. It had come after 11 years, time to handball it on, and we intend to be part of that fellowship in the future. But we need to get out of the way. You'll understand that, the old pastors, to get out of the way for a couple of years. 5 years previous, we'd been on a sabbatical in England, and it was a really fruitful time in a church there. So we thought, let's volunteer our services to England, to the Baptists in England. Guy then, because he's a comfort-loving man, he wrote to all the associations in England which have lovely regional areas, it's not the inner city ones, and asked, look, would you like me to help out in a church for a while? Weber, the West of England Baptist Association, replied and said yes, and they put us up, they organised for us to be at Radstock Baptist for a couple of days a week, and then in part of the wider Weber stuff with Guy doing what's called spiritual direction. Sadly and unexpectedly, the role at Radstock didn't work out, and so now our family are fellowshipping as part of the Weber family, no, the Welton Baptist family.
Yep. Thank you. And how would you say being a Christian has affected your experience in general terms of finding and fitting into a community in a foreign country?
One of the fringe benefits of being a follower of Jesus is wherever you go, you find you have a family. Doesn't matter what country you're in, you all kind of speak the same lingo. You have your different likes, as Jason highlighted, and you can kind of live with each other, even if you do support Manchester United or if you prefer Australian rules football or wherever it might be. You can live together because you have this common culture, which is one of following Jesus. So, look, we had a little family at Radstock for the time that we were there. We've got an even bigger, obvious family here, but that's the beauty of being a follower of Jesus. Yep.
And how would you describe your experience of making Welton Baptist Church your spiritual home?
The thing that struck me about Welton Baptist was we were encouraged by some Radstock folk to come along to Enfest. We had just arrived in the country, and so the first thing was quite a shock to see a queue to enter Enfest. So how bizarre is that it's so popular? Then Guy and I were both struck with how friendly people were, the professionalism, but also I love the intergenerational aspect, that it wasn't just the oldies who you all know you have lots of leisure time, or the youngsters who are on holidays or what have you. You had, for example, our kids had Simon, whose wife had just given birth to Charlotte. He was there crippled from a birthday party accident a few weeks before, and he was the leader of our kids' group. He'd taken time off from his work to be with our kids, to minister to the community kids, and that spoke volumes to us. And that's the sense that we have coming here as outsiders, but also now being on the inside a little, that the love that you have for each other and the love that you have for Jesus is also being shown to the world. And I'll just quickly add, at the end of last year, at the school where our kiddies attend, Guy was accosted by the deputy head, and he went up to Guy and said, "Oh, you go to that Welton Baptist Church, don't you?" And Guy said, "Oh, yeah." And he said, "You know, I've been living in this community for a while, and I've noticed over the last 5 years that your church is really making an impact, whether it be through Enfest or other the street pastors, whatever they're doing. I've noticed a change in this community." So Guy, being the man he was, took the credit on behalf of all of you, even though he's only been an uncomfortable chair sitter until that point. But so what an encouragement, someone we didn't say to him, how do you find the church we're attending? He actually sought Guy out to tell him that. So anyway, I want to share that, encourage you with that, to keep shining, showing that generosity that God's given you to our community. Was that the end? Would you know?
Yes, thank you. That's lovely. Pop it in there. That'll be lovely. Thank you. I don't think I really need to say anything to follow that. I think what Sandra has said is beautiful and should be an encouragement to all of us. Thank you very much, both of you. Thank you. That's a bit there. So if the worship group would like to come back up and we'll have another time of song.
It's great, isn't it? When different people do things and you feel like it's not just those like super spiritual people like the two Matts coming up on the stage. It's like that God is doing little things every single day through our lives that we just look for those little things to happen. One of the things that I've really enjoyed today, the thing, and God just spoke to me and actually moved me a little bit, was when the young guys came up to read earlier on, and Holly was having a little bit of trouble with her reading, and her brother was there. Did you see that? And he was pointing out and helping Holly do every single word. And what did you do at the end, Will? I think you gave her a little thumbs up, didn't you? He gave her a little thumbs up, and I could see behind this rostrum where I was sitting that he'd given her a little thumbs up. And God said to me, that's exactly what my love is like for you and for everybody here, is I am pointing out every single word. I am helping you along the sentences of your life. And I want to do that if you'll let me. And it was like, he wants to do that. And he says, he gives you a thumbs up. He says, I'm really pleased with you. You may not be very pleased with yourself. Sometimes we stuff up, don't we? We stuff up with our kids. We stuff up with our jobs. We say the wrong things. But God doesn't see that, because he's like that parent in the video. And the kid said, doesn't matter what I do wrong, God loves us anyway. So it really moved me. And I hope that moves you, that God is the God of the yes and the amen. He's God who is for you and not against you, if you let him in. And the Bible says God is like a treasure hidden in a field. And if you can just dig around a little bit, you'll find a treasure that you'll never want to let go of. So, you know, if you don't normally come to church or that, you know, and it may not be quite your thing even, just come a few weeks, try it, and see whether God speaks to you through it as well. We're going to finish off worshipping with a couple of songs. So as we sing to God, it just helps us love him even more. And we feel God's love I hope you feel God's love as you stand and as we sing to him. That's what's fantastic about it. I'm just going to read. We are going to sing, When I Call on Your Name, You Answer. And as we start that again, Teresa's going to be reading again, yeah? The John 17 verse. From which message are you reading from? The message, okay.
I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me, because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. So they'll be as unified and together as we are. I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and love them in the same way you've loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me, right where I am, so they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me, long before there ever was a world. Righteous Father, the world has never known you, but I have known you. And these disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I have made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do, and continue to make it known, so that your love for me might be in them exactly as I am in them.
Let's stay standing just for a moment. We're going to pray. I was thinking all during our service, if there's a verse in the Bible about the love of God, which is our theme for the whole of May, so all of this month. And if you're a guest this morning, do come back next week. We're going to keep on unpacking. How does this God love us? And there's a verse that kind of kept on coming back to mind this morning. I've loved this morning, haven't you? Just that sense of God's love, his love amongst our family as a church. And this verse says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Or in modern language, come near to God and he will come near to you. And all during this morning, I've been thinking, I've got this real sense that there are some of us who, when the love of God has been talked about, we've thought, I'm not quite there yet. Or it's not kind of feeling like that for me. And we're going to offer to pray for anybody this morning, not in a heavy-handed way, it's not a counselling session, but we've got a group of people who love God and they love to pray, and they're going to be around the edges of the room, and the band are kind of going to lead us out, and there's going to be tea and coffee and I think proper posh cakes next door. But if you're here this morning and you think, you know what, I'm kind of not where I want to be in terms of the love of God, experiencing, knowing the truth of that love, we're going to pray a really simple thing for you this morning, that you will draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And there may be some of you just stood here this morning thinking, I would love to leave this bit of place, this school this morning, knowing inside of me in a new way that God loves me. And if that's you, you've known it before, but you really sense God saying, I want to just speak my love to you again. I want to draw near to you, come near to you. Your coming near to him is just you finding someone and saying, pray for me. You don't have to give any explanation at all. Just say what he said, and they will pray for you, all right? Now, there may be one or two other people here this morning, and this is an amazing thing for you. You've never said to God, God, I accept your love into my life, and I'm really not going to embarrass you at all this morning. But if you're here, and you could be a young person, you could be the oldest person in the room, doesn't matter, but you've never said to God, God, would you come into my life and show me your love? I want to follow you. And I want to be yours. I want to live in the knowledge of this love every single day from now on. When I say that, if something inside of you thinks, that's me, that's where I'm at today, I want to give you an invitation just to come and grab me at the end. We're going to finish in 5 minutes' time. Come and grab me at the end. Is that all right? I would just love to pray for you. And you can begin today following God, knowing his love. If that's you, it takes a bit of guts. My name is Matt. Just come and say, Matt, that thing you said, would you pray for me? And I would love to pray for you. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that you have been here with us. And we've loved just hearing different voices speaking about their experience of how your love impacts our friends, our family, our workplaces, text messages to neighbors, all sorts of things. We say your love is real and your love is good. We ask you, Holy Spirit, even in this moment as we're quiet before you, would you come and pour your love into our lives again? In Jesus' name, amen. A huge, huge thank you to Suzette and the team for this morning. I think they probably deserve a bit of a round of applause for all you pulled together. Yeah. So the band are going to play us out. Feel free to go grab a coffee and a tea. If you'd like to stay and have somebody pray for you, prayer team, are you guys happy just to dot yourselves around the room? They'll be the ones looking very spiritual, all right? They won't actually, but they'll be there. You'll recognize them. Go and grab one of them. If you've not welcomed God into your life for the first time and you know God's kind of nudging you, come and grab me. I'm going to be right here. Have a great rest of the morning.